Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. My name is Jeanette Abney, and I want to thank you for joining me here for another episode here at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. Now, I want to first thank my Heavenly Father for waking me up this morning and blessing me, even though I rolled out of the bed late this morning and kind of pissed my daughter off because I had my hair half done. And I want to thank her for so gracefully helping me do my hair this morning as I got tired, mad, frustrated, and everything else, and wanted to go find me a wig to put on my head, but I didn't have one, so I had to roll with it. So I want to thank her for her patience with me and not popping me upside my head like I used to do her, or burning me with the pressing comb, you know, like they used to do back in the old days. So with that being said, today's topic is a very interesting topic. Now, today we're going to be talking about emotional baggage. Now, as I was talking about, even with my hair, sometimes that can also create some type of emotion. People say, Jeanette, why you don't wear your hair? Because I'm tired of looking like my mama. I don't want to look like my mama, so I try to do things differently. And no matter what, I still look like that woman. And that is an emotional issue that I know personally I need to work on and address. Now, I am a licensed marriage and family therapist, and I have 5 different office locations. I have an office in Fullerton, the city of Garden Grove, Huntington Beach, Oceanside, and Marietta. Now, when we're talking about therapy or being a therapist, I mean, being a therapist is not easy, but it's very rewarding because you get to assist individuals on their journey as they discuss a wide range of issues that are they're dealing with, whether it has to do with a relationship, whether it has to do with mental health issues, parenting, or whatever the case may be. Now, when you're talking about therapy, there's a lot of emotions that is brought into therapy. So even with this topic, if you are a therapist out there, or you are a life coach, or you are a pastor, or you do things to help individuals in their healing process, I want you to join me on the air as we're talking about this topic by calling in at 516-387-1914. My only rule is we have to be respectful because people's feelings are their feelings. They have to be validated because we will not be disrespecting individuals. That's my only thing, and I'm glad I do have control of the devices, so if it gets that bad, I can just click you off. Now, I'm waiting on my person that's supposed to be joining me here on the air as we're talking about this. She just sent me a text. I'll text her back, and I don't know where she is. Now, when we talk about emotional baggage, one thing I want to say is the longer you live, the more life experiences you will endure. My mother used to have this saying, and a lot of people say, well, where does the name J.A. Precious come from, or Precious Predicaments? Precious Predicaments, Precious was my mother's nickname, and even though she wanted me to start a scholarship fund for kids and athletics and academics, I basically wasn't my choice, but first the people with Voice America wanted and chose the name Precious. But, you know, with the predicaments have to deal with people's situation. Now, one of the things my mother used to always say is, keep living, keep living. And I give honor to her by doing these shows, and that's why I'm always talking about her, because it always keeps her to me, it keeps her memory alive. And there was a lot of things that she was trying to get me to understand as a kid that it just didn't make any sense. And when we're talking about just even with that and her saying keep living, it kind of goes back to the experiences that you will endure. Now, what's most interesting about those experiences is our perception and our attitude as it relates to life events. Now, the event per se can be past failures, heartbreaks, some type of trauma, breakup of relationships, and things that may have happened even in your childhood, and just any other type of wound. Now, those are just to name a few. Now, the baggage is the history that one carries with us, and it can be such as or cause negative messages. The messages can be perceived from our parents, romantic partners, friends, or past bad habits. Now, if your baggage is causing a problem in your life, or your relationship with another, it may be time to address those issues. And I also want to say, on a more positive note, sometimes with that baggage comes life experiences, so it has a lot to do with how are you or how is it affecting you in your life, because that baggage can also help us grow, but on the other token, it can also stunt our maturity. So if you've been told or you are aware that your baggage is becoming detrimental, again, let's talk about it. Now, it looks like I'm going to have to send this young lady a text again because I don't know where she is. But in the meantime, I'm going to keep it going. The things it said, and it had a picture. It says, is your emotional baggage weighing you down? And when I thought about that, I thought about going to the airport. And a lot of times when we're at the airport, some planes will basically charge you for your luggage. Some will weigh your luggage. Some will let you bring a carry-on. Now, when we start talking about bringing a carry-on, some of these things that we carry on are past hurts, traumas, issues, things that we've heard and from other individuals. Those are the things that we on from into other relationships, and sometimes and some things we have kept on from generation to generation to generation. So we have to be mindful of that. Sometimes we don't even realize that we are hurting other people, yet alone hurting ourselves. Now, we can all take comfort in knowing that every one of us faces some psychological challenges in time and some point in our life. We know no one is perfect, and I also want it out there that we all deal with emotional baggage differently. Now, it looked like she just called me, so let me log her on. Good afternoon. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
You know what, Amy? You and I got so much in common. You're the only person I know that'd be later than I do.
I'm not usually late. I'm writing a paper. I got lost track of time.
Oh, but you text me and I text you back, and you know you kind of I've been running around like a chick with my head cut off and all that other funny fun stuff. Now, I want to thank you for joining me here because, you know, I like to talk, but I don't like talking to myself, you know, because it gets kind of boring at times. So I want to thank you for joining me on the show. Now, what is it about the topic that kind of, I want to say, fascinates you or that you really want the listeners to know as relates to your input in this topic as we're going to dialogue about it?
My thoughts about the topic is just kind of, if you have an understanding that everybody has some sort of emotional baggage, and once you understand what that baggage is and why people do things the way they do them, it can help build a stronger relationship.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's interesting because, you know, you and I, we have a age difference. Now, with my age, in my experience and my journey, boy, I got a whole lot of baggage that I could be carrying. But some of that baggage is a little bit too heavy. And when we start talking about it being heavy, and I heard what you said, and I had the same mind frame when I was younger, and I would date someone, I'd be like, oh, you know what, not that bad. Or, you know, I could deal with it. Now that I'm older, I look at that baggage, and I'm like, I ain't messing with that. I ain't got time for that. So we learn that because emotional baggage is used as a metaphor. And when we start talking about that, it could be a mixture of negative and unprocessed emotions. Because a lot of times we haven't even thought about these things that we're holding on or we're carrying on to because we have been so used to them throughout the years. Now, these feelings, as I mentioned earlier, they can come from people, they can come from places. They could come from behaviors, and they could come from experiences of our past that still have a negative impact on our present. And that's where it becomes a problem. Now, I have a question for you, Amy. When you said what you said in regards to relationships, and looking at it from your point of view, because I know that each person's baggage is different. and how we view the baggage is also different. Tell me what you meant by that in a relationship.
It's because when you're in a relationship, you're trying to take two people's lives with two different upbringings and try and make them work together. So in order to do that, you have to have an understanding of why people do things that bug you or is obviously different than the way you do it or how they process their emotions or how they say they're sorry or how they show they love you in different ways. And so that's all from their childhood. And that can be emotional baggage, and it might not work with how you work. And that's how when you have to have that open mind, but if it doesn't work, then you have to cut ties because sometimes it's just emotional baggage is too much.
Correct. And that is true sometimes. Correct. And you know what? And that's where you find out if you are compatible or if there is a chemistry. Because not only, and when we talk about a relationship, Amy, it's not only just a dating relationship. Sometimes even at work, sometimes people bring their baggage to work or they bring it to when they're out in town. You know, I was in Walmart a couple of days ago, and this guy was an employee, and he was talking to himself. And he was like, I'm tired of washing dishes. I'm tired of washing dishes. And I looked at him and I smiled and I'm like, okay, something's not right with this picture. And then as I was going down the aisle, I guess the wrong way. He was pointing at me, telling me to go the other way. Now, I didn't want to say nothing to him because I didn't want him going off on me thinking I was his mama, you know, because he's tired of washing dishes. So sometimes when we holding on to things, it could be, like I said, childhood trauma, past events. Now, these are some of the other deep ones too, Amy. If individuals have been cheated on or if they have cheated, they might also have residue issues related to trust. You know, sometimes individuals feel that they are a low priority in relationships or in the world. Some individuals have a heightened sensitivity to feeling unimportant or excluded. Those are just some of the things. And some individuals are better equipped to handle situations or baggage as they arise. Now, one of the things I want to do is I want to encourage individuals to put some thoughts into when we start talking about emotions, what do we mean by that in regard to what are some of your triggers? Because I know in a relationship, Amy, I got my pet peeves, and people know me. They know that. I tell individuals I don't date little men because I could be somewhat of a bully sometimes, and I used to have a bad history of beating folks up. So if the man weighed less than me, I'm like, uh-uh, this is just so not going to work. Or if somebody eat my food, that's another one that kind of carries some emotional baggage with me to where I'm like, this no, certain things you just don't do in regards to that. Now, I have some information, Amy, and it talks about five signs your emotional baggage is sabotaging your relationship. And I thought this was interesting because these are just some of the things, because sometimes I have a question, first of all, Amy. Do you think that most individuals are even aware of their baggage, or do you think they just think it's just normal?
I think a lot of people aren't aware of their baggage. I mean, there are definitely people that are aware, but I think when you are in a relationship, whether it's like a physical relationship or a friendship or any kind of relationship, really, but when you're trying to work with someone else, it becomes apparent when something, like certain things you didn't even know bugged you will start to bug you and you don't understand why it's bugging you. So I think like you become aware of that, and the more relationships, the longer you've been in the relationship, you can work past it, or, you know, you realize it doesn't work with this person.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and that's interesting because I remember, and it's popping in my head every time I do these shows, things just come to me. I remember watching one of the Madea plays, and Tyler Perry was playing the role of Madea, and he was saying that, and I'm kind of paraphrasing a little bit. He was talking about with people, and sometimes people can do things, and if you tell somebody that this is a problem for you, and if they continue to engage in it, you know, then that person cares. But most people say, well, I'm not going to change. You got to accept me the way I am. And that's so not true. Okay, now we have a caller on the line. Let me log on this person. Hi, this is Jeanette Abney. Welcome to Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. How are you doing?
I'm fine.
Okay. And you called in, and what do you want to add to this topic as we talk about emotional baggage?
Well, I'd like to listen for a little bit, too, and I may have something to contribute. In the meantime, emotional baggage has a long spectrum of stuff to talk about, so I'd like to listen a little bit and just see if I have anything to contribute.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate that. Okay, when we start talking about emotional baggage and is it sabotaging your relationship, I first want to say that when we're talking about emotions, there's a lot of emotions. We have anger. We have resentment. We have happy. We have joy. A lot of individuals do not even know how to identify emotions. One of the things I liked about Facebooks and modern technology and they started giving us, I remember we would go to the doctor when I was a kid, and they'll ask you how you feel. You didn't know what to say, but then they start giving you a feelings chart. Now we got these little emojis where we send people little emojis. We know if the people are upset or are mad or angry. You know, even on Facebook, they got these little sentences where you can click on, I'm feeling this, I'm feeling that. So those are some of the things that we're taught now that to help us to identify certain types of emotions. So even as we're talking about bringing this baggage into a relationship, a lot of times individuals don't even know or, I believe, have the concept of what that's about, because one of the things that I see, Amy, as a therapist, is a lot of times they mask it as either depression, anxiety, you know, it can relate to PTSD depending on what it is, and there's a lot of other factors that are involved. Now, I'm going back and forth, but I want to first give you this information that I found, and it talks about three types of emotional baggage. First, these three types of emotional baggage are baggages that can threaten your relationship. And when we start talking about relationships, a lot of times we bring in that in because of our experience, things we've seen on television, things we've heard, or just day-to-day life experiences. Now, it indicates, it says, regardless of if you are in your 20s, your 30s, your 40s, your 50s, we all have some type of emotional baggage related to some type of dysfunction stemming from family that we were either born into or that we have been around. And if you date someone who has significant issues with their family, it's often with parents, because that's another thing we find a lot is parent-child relational issues. And a lot of individuals can bring that issue into their relationships with another. Now, when we start talking about these different things, we first have to know how to spot it. But not only how to spot it, but to identify it, but sometimes owning it. Now, the three types of emotional baggage that they indicate that threatens relationships or that they found was most detrimental was, one, depression. A lot of people believe that depression is more of a female problem, but it's not. Because there are also a lot of men that also deal with depression. And when they're dealing with depression, they really do not know how to process that. And sometimes I've seen, Amy, in relationships where the woman will become codependent. She would try to help her man or try to stand by her man. And that is one of the things that they indicate. Another thing, and I kind of skipped over a little bit, was when we start talking about the emotional baggage is major problems with family of origin, meaning a lot of childhood trauma, a lot of things that have happened in the past. I was listening to the radio station yesterday, one of my friends in regards to, she was also selected as the top 25 businesswoman with Courageous Woman magazine, and she was on KJLH last night, and her name is Minister Keisha Carter. And I was listening to her show, and they were talking about premarital counseling. And they had one of the guys, Dietrich, was on the air with her. And they were talking about that, and I'm going to connect with her because we're going to do a show to follow up on some things. But when he was talking about even spirituality, even dealing with relationships, and then when I was listening to the show after that, they were talking about a segment where a guy wherever he went, he had to take his mother with him. So he was a mama's boy. You know, some of those things are also baggage when we're talking about major family problems. Any comments you want to make?
Something?
Yes, you may.
Okay. I would like to include emotional baggage does not just come from your relationships with other people. Sometimes it comes from sickness and illness. And I think it's very important that we recognize that, because it's not until we've gone through so much that a lot of times it takes us going through all, weathering all those storms in order to identify, realize, and understand that it's healthy to express those emotions, that crying and being depressed and those things, those are covers for what's really going on. They really haven't. Sometimes people don't accept what's going on with them, and sometimes people do. So I want to understand that it doesn't always have to do with the baggage that you bring from other relationships. It can also come from health issues.
Again, and when we're talking about whether we're talking about health issues, and like I said, and dealing with relationships and bringing it on, and because mental health is one thing, physical health is another issue, spiritual health is another issue. So there are different components, and a lot of times if individuals don't work through what they're going through, it can become a barrier. A lot of individuals don't communicate effectively. They not even, I mean, I grew up in Compton. And in Compton, I didn't know nothing about a person being depressed or having anxiety or, you know, PTSD. We, you know, because like in the 60s and around the 70s, there were people coming back from Vietnam War. But I had no idea what all of that stuff was about. So all I knew was I saw things that I didn't like. I tried to do things differently, but it was still this. So it's a learning process, and you have to learn about yourself and know yourself before you can even engage in a healthy relationship with someone else, because sometimes we want to impose that on other people. We think everybody understands, and everybody don't understand. A lot of people get it. They really don't. And sometimes you can help individuals by teaching them those things or teaching them, well, this is what's going on with me. But sometimes we become so judgmental, and sometimes we hate what we don't understand because we don't even know. So we have to be very, very, very mindful of that. And even with that baggage, and I also indicated earlier in the show that on a positive note, emotional baggage can also help us grow. Because even me as a therapist, I attended a training, and it was talking about dealing with emotion, not trauma, sexual trauma in men, and how they carry and process things differently. And that's why I talk about a lot of these topics, because it's kind of taboo that some individuals kind of shun on because they don't know how to approach it. But one of the things that happened was when I did that training, they gave us what's called an ACE. I believe it was ACE exam. And it had to do with trauma. Out of the number 10 of the question that they had, I scored 8 out of 10. It wasn't until that time that I realized I had endured a lot of trauma. I thought it was normal. But what happened is, even though I endured it, I didn't even realize it. I take what I've learned and experienced, and it helps me to be an effective therapist today, because I'm able to help individuals, because I'm able to connect with them before I can redirect or help them to address any behaviors that they may be experiencing or enduring without having that look like, oh my God, or why, or your parents, or, you know. I remember one time I had a counselor and I had to challenge him on some things because he was talking to a person and he told the person, oh, and you a thief too? I'm like, wait a minute, time out. You know, so a lot of times individuals don't know how to respond to people's baggage. But you right. Nowadays, we're talking about codependency. We got to be careful when we help individuals unpack their suitcase, because they also got to be willing to get some help. Because
right.
if they're not willing to do anything about it, it doesn't mean that you have to accept and tolerate it. So that was why I was talking about when Tyler Perry was talking about one of her plays, his plays rather. If that person is trying, if that person is willing to address it once you bring it to their attention, or their attention, that's a person that's worth you investing in to help them go through this. But if they're telling you, I'm not going to ever change, or ain't nothing you can do about it, you got to accept me for the way I am, no. Because eventually
that
baggage is going to be committed to you. Thank you. Well, and you know what? This is what I've learned. Sometimes it's not that they don't want to change, they're scared because they don't know who they're going
mm-hmm.
to change into. They don't know
right.
what it's like on the other side. It's like a person that's an active drug user, and all they know is to use drugs. They don't know what life is going to be like sober. Or a person that's in
right.
an abusive relationship, they've endured it for so long that they don't know what a healthy relationship is going to even be like, because it's been a
yeah.
while, or they may have, you know, they don't know. So I try to
give people
options.
They've never been in
options.
A healthy relationship.
Correct. And a lot of that, again, is baggage. Now, another
right.
Indicator that they indicate in regards to the different three types of baggage in relationships is what they call the X factor. Now, when you're dating someone, you got to ask yourself the following questions. Is this person still in contact with their ex? Has this person you're dating fully closed the relationship, or they need attention from the other person in regards to dealing with their ex? Do they have baby mama drama or baby daddy drama or whatever the case may be? How is this going to impact my future? Amy, I know you are young. What do you think about that with the X factor? And dealing with a person because...
I think it's just important that if kids are involved, you have to understand that that person's going to be in their life for the rest of their life. So it's just
mm-hmm.
having the right appropriate boundaries and making sure it's child oriented rather than, you have to make sure there's no feelings there for the person, but they have to care for, you have to understand that they're going to care for that person because that is the mother of their child.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like, understanding the appropriate lines and knowing what is going to make you jealous and how to overcome that jealousy, and making sure
mm-hmm.
that your significant other is aware of how you feel loved in that relationship.
Mm-hmm. And, and it's interesting because when we're talking about these emotional baggages, and especially with dealing with the X factor, because everybody in the practice is dealing with somebody, and they learn something from their relationship, and they may carry something from that relationship, and it can be healthy or it can be unhealthy. But you first want to identify it. And that's why when we're talking about relationships, we want to make sure that it's very important that individuals understand rebound relationships too. Because sometimes a rebound relationship can bring on a lot of emotional baggage. A lot of times individuals may be afraid to commit because of some things that have happened to them in the past. But I want to let the listeners know, if you're dealing with that type of baggage, whether someone has cheated on you and you're dealing with trust issues, you also have to be able to trust yourself and trust God or your higher power. But don't
mm-hmm.
make or punish other people for what someone else has done to you, whether it was your parents that did it to you or your boss
mm-hmm.
that have done it to you or your ex.
Mm-hmm.
Don't make other people pay for your pain, and you shouldn't even
right.
have to pay for your pain. So part of the
right.
issue when we're talking about this emotional baggage is not only for other people, but for yourself so that you can heal. Now, I found something, and it was really cute, and I saw these little cute, colorful suitcases, Amy, and it says, baggage you don't need to carry, and it talked about your past, but these are three I want to bring up. One was negativity, guilt, and expectation. Let's tackle these. Do you know that part of what the emotional baggage, and even we're talking about sabotaging people's relationships and your life, is negativity? There is a lot of negative people in this world. And I used to just, now that I'm older and I'm more mature and I'm more spiritual, I sit back and I watch them. And I'll be like, wow, where did that come from? if you mm-hmm. listen long enough, you can hear it. But you got to mm-hmm. be careful and you got to be sensitive when you bring it to the forefront, because individuals by nature are going to become defensive, or they will project it onto you, or, you know, try to make it seem like you didn't care or flip the script. So you got to be prepared for the defensiveness. But Amy and the caller, got a question. What y'all think about this negativity in regards to emotional baggage?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
The negativity. What do you think about that? How can we help the listeners deal with negativity if that is one of their emotional baggage that they're carrying, is the negativity?
I'm not sure. I think when somebody brings negativity into the relationship, it kind of brings the whole relationship down. It's not as mm-hmm. strong. And if the other person is negative, you're both negative, then the relationship is just going to be more of, you know, a chore rather than something you enjoy. And relationships mm-hmm. are a lot of work, and there's going to be negative times, but you have to be able to pull that person out of their negativity. Like if someone comes home from work after and had a bad day and they're in a bad mood, they shouldn't bring home their work, but we oftentimes do. And just being able to see that they had a bad day and it's not your fault, and mm-hmm. Just being able to like show them that there are other positives outside of that bad day.
Mm-hmm. You know, when I looked at this word negativity, I was thinking the only time a negative times a negative equals a positive is in when you're doing algebra. So and you're dealing with integers. That's about it. Okay, caller, mm-hmm. any comments you want to make in regards to that with negativity as far as an emotional baggage dealing with someone that's constantly always negative?
Well, I think it's – my name is Gail.
Okay, Gail.
I think it's important that we are able to catch ourselves when someone tries to pull us in that direction, because people oftentimes try to find something negative that you agree on, and then they build on it.
Mm-hmm.
And those are people that are negative and more comfortable with negativity.
Mm-hmm.
But two negatives in a relationship, that relationship is doomed. It's not going to work, whether it's a relationship with a child or a relationship with another person or a relationship with your parents. I know that there was a time I was unable to even talk to my mother because she wouldn't say anything positive.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so I would have to stay away so that I could learn to be more positive myself and not get into that, not be a part of that negativity, because I want to mm-hmm. be positive. I want to be happy. That's one mm-hmm. of the things in my life that I made a conscious decision that I wanted to be happy. And I have, and that leaves very little space for negativity.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to let you steal my joy. Once I figure out that's what you're pulling on, I'm not going to give it to you.
Mm-hmm. You know, Gail, I want to thank you for that statement and that comment, and that was truly heartfelt because, like I said, even with me being a radio host and the name of the show, and I was always sharing regards to Precious Predicaments, because my mom passed away at 59 of breast cancer, mm-hmm. and she was mm-hmm. so negative. I mean, mm-hmm. negative, mean, beautiful on the outside, but on the inside, oh, my God. Just the things that mm-hmm. would come out of her mouth was horrible. And there was a time, even when she was sick, I had to distance myself because I'm like, either she's going to kill me or I'm going to kill her, because one of us got to go. This ain't working. Because
Absolutely.
Of her negativity. So I could truly, truly relate to that. But one of the things that I did to help the listeners, for some of those that are out there, especially with Christmas coming around and the holiday season, because we did something about the holiday blues, is if you are dealing with a negative person, that energy is coming from somewhere. And it's coming from their past hurt. And one of the things that I always challenge my clients, even when I'm in therapy, I'll say, what is the payoff? For what reason are you holding on to this? And one of the things with my mom that I've learned and prior to her passing. But even as I got a little older, because as a kid, it just made no sense to me to be that mean. But she dealt with a lot of childhood trauma. And I tried to make sure that I ended that generational curse and not spill that onto my children so that I wouldn't be that type of mother or be hurt. And my mother had a lot of bad male relationships. So because of that, she doomed everybody. Even with her having three girls, it was, you know, anybody like you would like me too. And she would sabotage our relationships because she was so unhappy. And even when she passed, I had to let her know with her body on that morgue, I will not die with you. I will not. Mm-hmm. And then when my father was murdered last December, which I'm about to approach his anniversary of his murder, I remember the pastor called my name out, and he said, Jeanette Abney, and I said, yes. He said, I owed you an apology. He said, you have a joy that is not normal because I refuse to let them two and their life affect my present or my future. So we have to be able to identify that negativity. And sometimes, and this is another thing I want to let the listeners know. I had to learn sometimes people don't know no better. And if they don't know no better, I'm not going to punish you because you just don't know no better. I'm going to love you with the love of the Lord, but that don't mean I got to deal with you. That don't mean I'm going to let you infect me. So those are just some of the ways of dealing with negativity. And hopefully people will turn around. It's kind of like with Christmas and the Grinch. You know, when you look at the Grinch, they make him look ugly on the cartoons and all of that stuff. You know, but if somebody tells Grinch, you know what, Grinch, you look really good today. You know what, Grinch, why are you acting like that? You know, you have to address it just a little differently. Another any other follow-up in regards to the negativity? Because like I said, I know there are a lot of individuals that are just, they just carry that negative energy, you know, and they got to let it go. It's too heavy, way too heavy, or well, it should be too heavy.
I'd like to add a little something just so you have some idea where I'm coming from. I am a parent of a child with special needs. And I've had a lot of experience in dealing. I had two children with special needs. And I had a lot of challenges with them. And even after that, I had cancer. And I still don't want anybody to steal my joy because I want to be happy. That is my goal. That is my dream. All I do in my life, if I don't do anything else, is to be joyful, share my joy, and allow it to be as infectious as a negative person would be. I want to be joy infectious.
You know what I mean? You know what? Yeah, I get it, and I commend you on that. I want to share. I remember after my mom passed, the Holy Spirit came to me and told me, you know, I tried to save your mother, but she wouldn't change. And I had to accept that. You know, I hated to see her leave, especially at 59 and miss her dearly. She wouldn't change. Wasn't nothing I could do about it. Did my best. The next one in regards to emotional baggage is guilt. A lot of individuals carry this suitcase with just guilt all over it or just guilt written on their forehead. And that's another thing that we have to work on, especially when we're interacting or engaging with other people, is guilt, parental guilt, guilt over things that we've done, guilt over things that we've said. Guilt can stress you out. It really can, because sometimes people hold on to guilt. They feel guilty about things that other people don't even know. Any comments in regards to that?
My mother, I have a brother with schizophrenia, paranoid schizophrenia, and bipolar disorder. So he was exhibiting characteristics of this particular behavior when he was a child. But my mother would never acknowledge that there was anything wrong, or she was in denial. So when he got to be grown and she was too old to make him do anything, he already knew right from wrong. But she would not put him in a facility, assisted living facility, you know, where he could get the help, the daily help that he needs. And I was working in the field. I'm an advocate in the field for any special needs, whether it's mental or physical health. Now, her guilt let her forced her to keep him in the house, to tell everybody she wasn't going to throw him away. That in itself to me is a negative statement.
It is.
So, you know, and she kept him in her home for the rest of her life and passed away in her home because she didn't want to go into a senior's senior living facility or anything. She was going to stay right here and be with him. Because
you know
she
what?
Never That's... did anything to help him.
And you know what? And it's I want to piggyback in regards to what you're saying. It's because a lot of us, and I can hear in your voice that you're African-American descent, and a lot of those issues, many of us don't even know how to deal with because my son is also, he has schizophrenia, and I also have other family members that have severe mental health issues that as a kid, I didn't even know what it was. And I remember I was talking to my son one day, and I was in college, and I looked at my son, and I said, I have a question. I said, do you hear voices? You hear things and see things? He said, yeah, Mom, how you know? He was trying to hide it from me. Now, I've never felt like a guilty parent because I know I did the best I could. And even though I would try to get him help and he didn't want the help, one thing I said I was not going to do was enable him. Even now, I refuse to live with grown kids. I, growing up in Compton, and all that I saw, I said, I'm not living like that. The devil ain't going to steal my joy. But a lot of parents, because they don't understand, but people can live with schizophrenia if they get the help that they need, whether it's
That's
medication
right.
regimen, whether it's going to therapy. And every time my son would get on my nerve, I would always tell him, okay, I'm going to have your butt institutionalized. I'm going to lock you up in an institution, and I will not feel guilty about it. Drop his butt off in a heartbeat before I had
That's
to.
That's what I had to tell my daughter. Yeah.
I'm not living like that.
She would call it jail. I said, okay, you can call it whatever you please. Your ass is going in the slammer if you try to do this again, you know.
Shoot. I'd be laying up in my bed. My son
like
trying to sneak in my house. I'm laying up there with a gun behind my pillow like, I'll blow your brains up. Be away from me. But leave me alone.
Right.
I knew. But see, but I'm going to tell you, they're going to baggage because my mama would do some mess like that, you know. And I had to be careful. Even now, when I'm talking to him on the phone, he's sending me these little Afro Man YouTubes at 3 o'clock in the morning. I don't even have my phone on. My phone is on silent and been on silent for 4 years. Cause in case he called me, I don't have to answer the phone. So, but I do not feel guilty about it. The next one is expectation. But I also want to say this, too. If you're dealing with guilt, please relieve yourself, especially if you know that you've done the best that you can. Don't carry that guilt and weigh yourself down. So I don't want to minimize it. And I mean, it ain't like I'm telling jokes because I'm really telling the truth. What I just said was truthful. So don't think I'm playing or minimizing it because I'm not. But you do not have to carry that guilt if you've done all that you possibly could do. The next one, emotional baggage, is expectations. A lot of individuals carry this emotional baggage because of their expectations either they put on themselves or that someone put on them, meaning I wanted you to do this or you should have done that or I failed this test or I wanted to do this in life or I lost my home or I lost my job. I want to ask either Gail or Amy, let's talk a little bit about expectations. I'm going to ask you first, Gail. What do you think about that in regards to the emotional baggage being expectations?
Well, I find expectations to be self-destructive. You know, if people are not going to do what they say they're going to do and I'm expecting them to come through, I set myself up for disappointment. I don't want to have an expectation of someone when they don't have the capacity to do what it is I expect them to do. Or if they can't tell me the truth about it, you know, and there's some wavering in their explanation, then I'd rather not have that expectation of someone else. So if you tell me you might be able to pick me up next week for my doctor's appointment,
mm-hmm.
I need to find another ride because I'm not expecting you. You're telling me a might means it might happen
mm-hmm.
and it might not.
Might not. Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to find another ride. You know,
mm-hmm.
so I'm not going to set myself up for the last minute trying to get you to do something that I expected you to do.
Mm-hmm. And you know, and I want to say before you speak on that, Amy, because I hear you breathing, but when we're talking about those expectations and with emotional baggage, that's one that I may have to do a whole nother show on because expectations is tricky because there are some things that is our responsibility. Even as
mm-hmm.
a human being, as a parent, but people will disappoint you. Individuals
yeah.
will let you down. But when you're holding
yeah.
on and you expect somebody to do something, you want to first, and what I'm hearing you say, Gail, is a lot of different things, and I want to say if the person is willing, ready, able. Sometimes we expect individuals to do things that they're not even capable of even doing. And I'm going to go back to my
sure.
mother and my parents, and I would say they didn't know no better. Even though,
mm-hmm.
as a parent, a child expects certain things from their parents that we believe that they should know how to do, but a lot of them don't have it in them. Every mother
right.
is not maternal. Every father is not paternal. It's like a father not wanting to pay child support or wanting to spend time with his child, but he may be dealing with some emotional baggage from the expectations he had of his father, and that may cause a lot of fear and anxiety too. So we start talking
mm-hmm.
about expectations. That is one of the topics that is so broad. It's like a person having common sense. So sometimes
right.
we don't want to set ourselves up for failure, but by that same token, we should have some type of standard, some set boundaries, goals. But if you don't meet your goal or reach it in a milestone, don't let it be the death of you in regards to expectation. So we
nope.
should have.
And I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
My thing is, if I can't do it this way, how can I do it?
Mm-hmm. Sometimes you got to have a plan A, plan B, and plan C. But by that same
yeah.
token, I understand my mother and them used to say, don't put all your eggs in one basket. Meaning, and
mm-hmm.
also don't expect for somebody to do something for you that you can also do for yourself. So I hear what you're saying in regards to expectations. But by that same token, if we go into something with no expectation, it's funny because even when my clients come in and I give them the forms to fill out, there's one question that indicates what is your expectation of the therapist? And a lot of times they leave that blank. And I will ask them, well, have you ever been in therapy before? What worked? What did not work? What do you want out of this session? So those are your expectations, and then I'm going to let you know whether I can live up to your expectations or not. Because if
mm-hmm.
you have unrealistic expectations, I'm going to let you know that's not me. I cannot do
yeah.
it. But if it's realistic, I'll try to meet you halfway. So I don't want individuals to just think, well, I don't want no expectations. But by that same time, find out if they're realistic or unrealistic. Okay, Amy, what you got to say in regards to expectations?
I think expectations for a relationship, we get them. Sometimes we carry them in that we didn't even know we got, basically. So, like, a lot of times I work with kids in the pool, and the parent will tell me, oh, he's just super scared of the water, and it's really not the child that's scared of the water. It's the parent that's scared of the water. So
mm-hmm.
we carry expectations that we don't even know how we got these expectations, that we developed them from, you know, people around us.
Mm-hmm.
Also, like, movies we have for, like, I never knew relationships were so much work until I
mm-hmm.
was in a relationship. And I was always trying to take the easy way out. I was like, it shouldn't be this much work, but it was that much work to see if we were compatible. And
mm-hmm.
now it obviously still takes work because, you know, you get in a routine and you have to remember, like, that you're young and we're dating and it's fun and it doesn't need to be like a job. It should be like, you know, there should be time and energy put into it, but also it has to be appropriate
yeah.
time.
Mm-hmm.
I think that a lot of people, you know, they accept the love they think they deserve. They see how their parents are and if they're divorced or, you know, violence or yelling happens in the house, they tend to be drawn to relationships like that, and they don't know what a healthy relationship is. And when they do find one, they often sabotage it. And yeah, I think those are those people carry those expectations, and also with, like, they expect their other to, like, kind of react or do similar things as their ex. And so it's hard to, you know, overcome the emotional baggage of our past, or, you know, we develop new baggage in a relationship. Yeah.
You know what, Amy? I like that concept, because a lot of times we talk about just expectations. Sometimes if you grew up in a home and your father was a certain way, you may expect your significant other to be the same way, or the things that you saw, that's one expectation. I remember my daughter told me one time, she said, "Mom, you don't have daddy issues, you got mommy issues." I didn't even know what she meant by that. But she was able to break it down to me and bring that to my attention in regards to, you don't hold on to a lot of men issues, it's women issues. And then I also had to go back and think about that. Then I've heard people say, "Jeanette, you don't know how to let a man be a man." And that's because I didn't have the expectations, because I didn't really see a lot of things. I didn't know a man's role, so I felt like I didn't want to be disappointed. So I felt like, I'll do it myself. But I had to be careful with that, because, like I said, when we talk about expectations, a lot of times we're so afraid to tell individuals what we expect, because we don't want to be disappointed, because that hurts. And those are some of the issues also that we carry with our emotional baggage. I want to bring some more topics to the forefront when we talk about that. Fear. Fear is another emotional baggage that we carry. And many of us don't even realize the fear. And also the anger. A lot of individuals carry emotional baggage of anger because they're angry with someone or something that someone done to them, something they experienced, and sometimes even the anger that they're angry with themselves. That's another thing that people carry in their suitcases. Anybody want to comment on that?
That's too big for me. That's a big one. That
and you know what?
One.
It is, but it got to be, you can break it down. You know, a lot of times with anger, it kind of back to the family of origin. A lot of times individuals are angry at others, especially their parents, they're disappointed. Because with anger is like depression turned inward. Anger can be one of those things. We have different anger styles. Some individuals, they bring into what's called the TNT, where they just go off. Some individuals will bottle things up and just cap it. Some individuals bottle and blast. Some people will give you the silent treatment. Some individuals will blame you for their anger. You know, anger is one of those things that's really touchy, but you kind of want to identify where is this coming from, and also help the individuals develop coping skills, problem-solving skills, so that they won't be so angry. You know, it's very difficult to tell someone you love them and then hate somebody else or hate something at the same time. You can't love and hate at the same time. And that is something that comes with baggage. And you don't cure overnight. It takes some real, sometimes in-depth therapy to deal with that one. Any comments?
I think fear is, a lot of people carry fear, whether it's between the relationship or, you know, if it's going good, you know, fear of the future, of where it's going to end or when it's going to end. If you're dwelling on when it's going to end and you're, you know, focusing on the negatives rather than being in the moment, there's like fear of, you know, if your significant other, like what they're doing, like, you know, there's yourself, your insecurities of yourself, and you reflect them onto your significant other. Those can all be negative effects in the long term.
You know, one of the things that you are in, when you're talking about that, Amy, is bringing up, I have did a show on it, and it has to do with relationship anxiety. And a lot of that is fear-based. You know, thinking it's too good to be true, they're going to leave me. So a lot of individuals will deal with their fear, their doubt, their disbelief. Fear is another one that's really huge. It can go in a whole lot of different directions in regards to what are you afraid of. Now, Even though we were talking about emotional baggage, and I had some, and I shared earlier about five signs emotional baggage is sabotaging your relationship, but not only sabotaging your relationship, it's hurting you. One is you project your insecurities, meaning those who have emotional baggage can oftentimes be riddled with a lot of self-doubt, meaning they don't feel good and comfortable about themselves. They feel insecure about themselves. And when you're dealing with those things, for an example, you could be on your first date, you start feeling, you know, on the edge. You might think people are judging you too harshly. So part of that baggage, it'll show because you project your insecurities. Another thing is individuals that are carrying these type of emotional baggage sometimes present as being kind of paranoid. And when we start talking about being paranoid, meaning that they start thinking that individuals don't trust them, or, you know, everybody's going to do this to me, and, you know, it happened to me all the time. And I hear a lot of that. I hear a lot of self-sabotage, especially in a therapeutic setting. Another area where individuals in sabotaging their relationships is individuals will compare people to their past lovers or other people in their relationships. Another one is they hide things from other people, and they won't fully commit. Amy, and that's interesting because when individuals are dealing with their baggage, a lot of times they're afraid to commit. They're afraid to, or they don't want to get too close to anyone because they don't want people to know their shortcomings. So those are just some things. Now, I have some information. It talks about five steps to deal with emotional baggage so it doesn't define you. Part of it is letting go. And letting go of that is a process. Letting go takes practice. Letting go also takes a sense of self-awareness and acknowledging and owning. You know what? I don't want to carry this no more. I don't want to deal with this issue no more. I don't want this issue to affect me in my present life or in my future. So these are some things that I need to work on. And the problem sometimes isn't that individual have the baggage, because we all have baggage. Where it becomes a problem is how you define it, what is your attitude, what is your perception, and what you want to do about it. Because if you're willing to do something about it, there are people to help you. I want to give some information. Like I said, I am a licensed marriage family therapist. I do have five locations, one in office in Fullerton, Garden Grove, Huntington Beach, Oceanside. Part of me doing the podcast is to be able to reach out to a number of individuals that are out there listening that may be afraid to go to a therapist. Also, if you have medical insurance, they're now making it really easy to obtain the help and the assistance because you can do what's called telehealth, where you can speak with a therapist either online, via phone, Skype. So you don't even have to leave your home, because a lot of individuals deal with anxiety of going to therapy to talk about their issues. And don't think that people are not going to understand, because most people will. And even if you feel that they don't understand, help them, teach them, give them the information. Or when they ask you a question, don't become so defensive. They may be trying to learn, or they may be trying to help to be able to reach you. Now, also, like I said, you have to be honest with individuals, but help is out there. Now, Amy, we got a couple of minutes left on the air. What do you want the listeners to leave with as we're talking about this baggage, so they can, you know, leave a suitcase somewhere and don't have to bring this because it's too heavy? What do you want the listeners to know?
I think that if you, whether it's a friendship relationship or a physical relationship, I think it's important that the baggage you're aware of, just to not be upfront about it, but be honest with yourself and your significant other. Like, there's people, you know, mental illness, when you struggle with something like that, just being like, hey, I'm not feeling well today. It's not what you're doing. It's like me, and this is what I need from you. Like, just act normal, because sometimes you think someone's in a bad mood and you take it personally and you think it's your fault or you did something wrong, and then you're both kind of sitting there all bummed out. But if you're upfront about it and you're like, hey, I'm struggling with this right now and this is what I need from you, it's all about communication in order to get past your emotional baggage.
All right. Gail, and I also want to thank you for being honest and joining us on the air today. What do you want to leave the listeners with?
Well, I'd like them to know that fear is a biggie. you know, and a lot of things that we do, a lot of things that we hold on to, a lot of things that we use as negativities are born out of fear. So know that when people are addressed for, when you address someone about what's going on inside of them, know that there's some element of fear of being exposed, because most often it's a secret and they don't allow everyone because we have trust issues. So if we can't trust the person that we're sharing this information with, we won't be able to get any help.
Yeah.
So well, if that's not the right person, find someone else.
Correct. Don't give up, because you don't want to give up on you. And like I said, that weight can be heavy. It can really be heavy. Some people say take it to the altar. I used to say, Lord, they done gave me way more than I could bear. This is too much right by now. You know, but by that same token, the baggage is your baggage. Own it. Be willing to do something about it. Let it out. Go get some help. Yeah. You can call 211. If it's a mental health issue, you can call NOMNY. There's a lot of organizations out there to help individuals. If you're in the military, employers have what's called employee assistance program. If you have medical insurance, you can look on the back of your card. You can call. You can reach out. You can call 211, which is InfoLink, and wherever area or county you're in. I know in the state of California, I know about other counties, but even go online. There's a lot of resources out there that are available. And if you have any questions, you can call my office, my Oceanside office. Mm-hmm. Orange County office, area code 714-992-1677. Or you can Google my name, Jeanette Abney, and our LMFT. And if I can't help you, I will help guide you in the right direction, because Amy know I'm real busy. So I want to thank you for joining me here at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. Amy Gill, I appreciate you guys today. Now, tomorrow I'm going to be on the air with my pastor, Pastor Janice Dale from Higher Dominion Worship Center. We're going to be talking about the true meaning of Christmas. So you can join us tomorrow at 11:30. I will be from my car because I have to go to my daughter's Christmas party because I don't want to miss the food. And on Monday, I am going to be on the air with Minister Keisha Carter from, and I noticed she's also on KJLH radio station. She was on last night. So we was trying to remember what our topic was we were supposed to be talking about, so I got to call her and let her know. It is the value of premarital counseling. So we don't want all these marriages winding up in divorce, but if individuals was to receive some premarital counseling, even though they're going to marry and do what they want to do, but at least they can't say you didn't talk about it and you wasn't aware. So thank you again for joining me here at Blog Talk Radio, Precious Predicaments. I appreciate you guys. And until we speak again, remember, you got this. Bye-bye.
Bye.